We're back for season two.
Yes, it's bigger. It's badder. It's...
Oh, just get on with it.
Bad scripts.
Hello and welcome to the Bad Scripts podcast, and it's season two finale time. Steve Jones here, as always, and joining me on the other side of the country, none other than Mr. Mike Garlia. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Do you know what? I'm sad. I'm sad and happy at the same time. It's a mixture. It's a mixed emotion right now, Steve. I'm not going to lie to you.
It is. It's a strange one, isn't it? Because this has been over a year. This season has been running for, which doesn't normally happen. But, you know, for circumstances outside of our control or maybe things that happened in our lives, it kind of delayed things a little bit. But you know what? We've got there and we've written a whole new season and probably enough writing for possibly two seasons.
Well, you know, if we were to recap... And you know, just for everyone hearing this, we haven't stopped writing since we decided to start writing. And it started in Halloween at the end of the first year. What was that? Halloween 2021?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we wrote some Christmas episodes. I think that was about four. And then we had a month off. And then from February 2022, we've been writing this season. So I don't know whether that makes us really slow writers. But over 600 pages of scripts, Steve, when you add them all up.
It is a lot. And it's a difficult process because as many of our regular listeners will know, you live in Scotland and I live in the Midlands of England. And so we've got 300 miles between us. It's a 5-hour drive. It's not easy to do in person. So we tend to do it remotely, which makes it a very difficult process to write together. And I think early doors, it was difficult when we would sort of spend a lot of time thinking over just one line, 20 minutes, just going over a line. Well, I don't really think that works. Oh, well, I do. And actually we found our rhythm by the end, I think. And we were able to work and do it in a slightly different way. And I think it's come to fruition now. Just as we're finishing.
I think if I ever heard the line, that person wouldn't say that one more time. I was going to scream back in there. I was like, oh my God, 20 minutes over a word. Like,
yeah. Trying to,
but you know, you're right. We did find our rhythm. And for those that you know, that have never written before or don't understand the writing process, all me and Steve really do when we laid out the season, it's just a load of bullet points. It's just bullet point one. And with the situation, all it states is the situation. So Dan and Donna in a caravan, you know, having a conversation about the relationship. That's all it is. And then we have the job to go, right, okay, so that's the scene that we're now going to write. We have to fill the dialogue and fill the stage direction in. And that takes imagination. And you sit there and you play it through. And, you know, then the paper, the script goes to Steve and he looks at it, or you'll write. And then it comes to me and I'll look at it. Then we'll add our edits. And it goes around again. And then we're good to record. And that's what you literally get, is a first lightly edited draft of what we've written. Yeah. We haven't gone back. We haven't changed anything. I think of the hundreds of scenes we've written, only one scene ended up on the cutting room floor, only one scene that was fully written that was dropped in this season, and that was earlier on with Bernie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it was detail we didn't really need at the time, and you know, one day maybe we'll release it in a special edit. We'll record it and pull it out and show everyone. But currently. I feel like, you know, we had a roadmap for our characters. So we knew where, from the beginning of the season, we knew where they were going to end up, every single one of them. And it was hit by diversions on the way and things happening and interchanging as well. It looked like the London Underground map, honestly.
Well, life got in the way as well, didn't it? You know, and let's, you know, in the last year alone, we've experienced a divorce. We've experienced a health issues with loved ones. We've experienced changes of jobs, and I mean, there were times I was working in London and having to dial in, write, do the podcast and stuff, and that's it just feels like such a long time, but it's all within the season. So so yeah. much has really happened on there, and I've it said really too has. Much.
Oversharing again, Mike. But yeah, we're not looking for sympathy. All we're saying is it's been a long slog, but it's been a pleasurable one as well, and we've enjoyed writing this for you. And you know what we've really enjoyed is the gracious feedback we've had from people. We're always welcome feedback, whatever kind it is, because that helps us improve our stories going forward, and it motivates us as well. You know, gives us that impetus when you perhaps don't feel like writing, like there's other things to do, and you spend your evening trawling through trying to get a scene to work, knowing that there are people out there that are really enjoying what you're writing and that are invested in the characters, helps spur you on to just get that scene finished and do it to the best of your ability.
Well, let me ask you, Steve, we've got 7 scenes left to go for this. How are you feeling about it all?
I'm excited because there's a lot of things that are concluded now. There's a lot of things that are coming to fruition and that we've been planning for a very long time. So I'm excited. I'm also sad that these characters we aren't going to be bringing back to life again. You know, at least that's not the plan at the moment. Where, you know, it's 2 seasons and done. If we get, you know, if there is call for more, who knows? Never say never. But we feel like this story has done its served its purpose, run its course. And, you know, the Bad Script podcast will find something else to do in the future.
I agree. And when you really think about what we've done with these characters, the stories we've brought in, this season in particular was pretty epic because we had 2 baddies. We had Bernie and we had Kelly, both very different type of characters who were, you know, who were terrorizing and causing heartache for our core characters in different ways. Mm. Where do you go from there? And, you know, and I think it becomes, if we wrote another season of Last Resort and we focused on camp holidays, it's just more of the same. It's more of a new batch comes in, and then all you're doing is offering kind of timid situations.
You've got to create that one-upmanship. You've got to be bigger in the next one, and it starts to become less attuned to what we actually experienced. And we don't want to lose that element of the semi-autobiographical element that we had when we wrote this. So, you know, let's hope that people enjoy it for what it is, and that people are happy with the outcomes.
Just before we move on, I would like to see more of Glenn. If we're going to do something going forward and we're going to branch off with different characters, I think Glenn, a dodgy South African, we have no idea how he got his money. We know he's a dangerous man because of his interaction with Bernie and how that ended. But there's something in there with that as well. And for me as an audience member, it would have been nice to hear more about his background and story, but that's for another day.
Well, I mean, I think my opinion there is that I kind of like the mystery because that adds to the sense of foreboding. You don't know what this guy's about. You don't know how dangerous he is. You don't know what he's involved in. And I kind of like that because we don't know. We haven't written that background for him. So all we know is what the audience sees. And I like that. So, you know, we shall have to see. But at present, we don't have any plans to write anymore for this set of characters. So you may never know what happens. But we still have some scenes to go. So why don't we jump right in for one last time and see what's happening down at Camp Holidays. Interior, main venue, night. The lights are dimmed and the venue is absolutely packed. The hustle and bustle slowly falls to silence. The music fades and the spotlights begin to race around the stage. Margaret is smiling from ear to ear, seated front and centre. She's joined by Daisy, Karen, Judy and Mark. She's wearing her custom Dan the Man t-shirt and is giddy with excitement. Colin and Gary are busy manning the bar, the sounds of glasses clinking the only noise that can be heard as the audience waits for the show to start. A fanfare blasts out loudly, the high-pitched and energetic music signalling the start of the show. Smoke fills the stage, the lights zip through it, creating mystical patterns and shapes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the wait is almost over.
please take your seats as the show is about to start. Camp Holidays is pleased to bring you our amazing end of season review for one night only. Marvel as your favourite artists and camp coach perform for one last time, back by popular demand. So please put your hands together and welcome onto the stage camp's very own boy band, Dan, Adam and Robin. It's Fusion!
Music blasts out, and the three boys enthusiastically dart onto the stage, diving immediately into their dance routine. Margaret jumps to her feet, clapping, as a great number of the audience all join her, dancing and applauding. Some making their way to the dance floor, the atmosphere is electric. Towards the end of the number, Adam is stood centre, singing as both Dan and Robin stand either side. They both embrace Adam as they harmonise the final chorus. They finish, and the audience erupts into clapping and cheering. Thanks for having us, guys. You rock!
Please give it up for Fusion!
The boys leave the stage, waving to the audience as they do.
Now let's keep this party going and welcome our very own house band, Black and Blue.
The band takes their positions and waits for Sam to cue them in. She belts out a few lines of the song with no music, her powerful voice filling the air, her arm reaching upwards as she sings in perfect key. Her hands drop and the band immediately kicks in. The audience goes wild. Interior, main venue, bar area. Gary slips a cocktail umbrella into a drink and places it on the bar. A hand wraps around the glass, and surprisingly, Alan is the person holding the drink. He takes a sip and smiles as the packed venue is in full party mode. He leans his back against the bar. Well, hello, handsome. Bernice is wearing a red sequin dress. Her hair is down and a tropical flower rests atop her ear. Alan is shocked and briefly chokes on his cocktail. Cat got your tongue. I don't remember you being this shy the last time we met. Alan composes himself.
Bernice, so what do we owe the pleasure? I didn't know you were on resort.
Bernice indicates to Gary that she wants the same drink as Alan and saddles up to the bar next to him. I had a few days owing me. Thought I would drop in and see how you were doing.
Well, things look good, as you can see. A great season by all accounts.
So it would seem. Congrats.
Thank you.
That was a great show, by the way. Nice touch with the boy band, too. I recognise a few of those from the last time we were here.
Well, I wish I could take the credit. I have a really good team and some amazing talent.
Oh, I know you're a man of many talents. Alan steps away.
Well, I really must be going. Lots to do.
Will I be seeing you later? I have one of your celebrity suites booked. I've got some bubbles on ice.
Oh, Bernice. I mean, what happened before, that was purely a one-off. Me and my wife are trying to make a go of things now. You understand?
Bernice looks disappointed. Her gaze drops to her feet, then back at Alan, her eyes twinkling mischievously. What she doesn't know won't hurt her, Alan. I can assure you, you won't regret it. Alan takes Bernice's hand and cups it into his own.
I'm sure it would be fantastic, but I must respectfully decline. I'm heading straight off from here to Johannesburg to meet Glenn. Can't let the boss down now.
Well, maybe next time then. Alan places a hand on her shoulder and edges away out of the venue.
Take care, Bernice.
Gary places the cocktail next to Bernice and she takes a sip. At this point, Adam, Dan and Robin arrive at the bar, freshly showered and wearing casual clothing. All right, Gary, mate, can I get three beers? Cheers. Gary winks at Dan and places the beers on the counter. The boys toast to the show. Well done there, lads. That was quite the performance. The guys turn to face Bernice. Robin instantly recognises her. Oh, thanks. Bernice, isn't it? What brings you back here? Oh, nothing much. Just wants to see how things were. You boys are certainly the toast of the town.
Thanks. we've really enjoyed it these last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been proper good. Bernice stirs her drink and then looks curiously at them all. So, what are your boys' plans for next season?
Not sure yet. Next thing is to meet with Mark and Judy yet, but...
You ever thought about taking the show on the road? What, like on a tour bus? Bernice laughs. Look, I'm a plain speaking woman. I'll just come out with it. You guys are great. I've just been made the director of entertainments for Sun Lolly, and I want you all to come work for me. They all look at each other, shocked at the sudden proposal. I'm serious. You get more control over what you do, you'll be out in the sunny med, and you can plan your own shows, the whole shebang. Adam smiles widely. Dan and Robin look at each other cautiously. Wow, that's quite the offer. Do you mind if we have a think about it? Of course. I'm here till Sunday, so feel free to talk it over. And if it's money you're looking for, let me tell you, I can guarantee a great reward package. Private villa with pool, 3 square meals a day on resort, floor to ceiling. Well, let's just say you'll be a hit with the ladies, if that's what you want. So go on, have your chat and let me know your decision. Robin ushers the boys out of a nearby fire escape as Bernice returns her attention to the band playing, a smile on her face. Ooh. So Bernice is, well, she's offering jobs to Robin, Dan and Adam?
Yeah, I just wonder what they have to do to get the job.
Well, I think they've already done it. I don't think it's
She's at the bar drinking cocktails in a party dress.
I think it was for Alan's benefit. I don't think she's interested in the younger man, but quite the turn up for the books, though. The boy band being offered a contract abroad.
Mm.
Sunny Mediterranean.
Sunny Med. Wonder what they're going to do with that. Although your Fife Bernice accent is outstanding, mate. Very, very Kingdom of Fife-esque.
Oh, well, one tries. I don't know if I went for Fife. I just went with an accent and did my best.
You sound like Edie McCready from, what was that show back in the day?
Ballamore,
yeah. All I can hear is Edie McCready.
Well, let's find out what the boys think of that and what else is going on. Let's get back into it. Interior, main venue, night. Mark, Judy and Karen are dressed in formal evening wear. They stand in a slightly sparser corner of the bustling venue. They purvey the successful night.
Well, I thought it were proper good.
Yes, Judy. Once again, you prove you know how to put on a show. Well done.
Mark, dear, it's a group effort. You've been in my corner all year. I won't forget that.
Mark raises a champagne flute.
Here's to being back on top, guys. Cheers.
They all toast and sip their champagne.
And to Wayne, I know he's a grumpy sod this last few years, but I love the little bugger. I wonder what he's doing right now.
He'll no doubt find his way. He was ready to move on. You could see that. He never fully suited management.
He'll land on his feet. He always does.
Wayne! Well, on a less exciting note, I put some time in tomorrow to sort contracts and look at acts for the winter season.
No rest for the wicked, eh?
Tonight's for celebrating. Tomorrow's a new day.
They all finish their champagne and Mark pours another for each of them. Exterior, main venue, fire escape. Robin lights a cigarette and passes it around the group, each taking a drag before passing it on.
Can you believe it? What a day. We headline the end of season show and then get offered the mother of all contracts with the biggest holiday company in Europe.
That's mad, that is. I mean, imagine us lads taking the med by storm. Yeah, it's a really fantastic offer.
Should we do it? Look, a change is just what I need after everything this year.
Well, just a sec, Adam. Let's slow down a bit and think this through.
Come on, Robin. You just said yourself it was a fantastic offer. What else is there to think about?
Robin looks at his feet before clearing his throat and addressing the other boys. You remember last week when I had a couple of days off? Yeah, when you went to see your mum? Not exactly. I stayed with my mum, yes, but I actually went to see Pete.
Pete?
I thought you guys broke up. We did, but, you know, recently we've been kind of talking again. Oh, mate, that's really cool.
Yeah, really pleased for you, Robin.
Oh, it's nothing like that, but he did tell me he'd mentioned me to one of the producers, you know, on his show. And, well, they invited me down to an audition for a new program they're making. No way! Yeah, it was really scary, I don't mind admitting.
So how'd it go?
They called me this afternoon. They want me to screen test next week with the other performers. I really think I might have a chance. Please, don't be mad. Robin looks at Adam to judge his reaction. Adam looks away, as if to let loose a torrent of abuse. Then a smile breaks across his face.
Mate, that is freaking amazing.
He roughly grabs Robin and hugs him tightly. Dan joins in. Nothing is set in stone, but Pete called me and he said it was practically a done deal. As long as I don't mess it up. My stomach's been in knots all day. Are you sure you're okay with this? I mean, I've let you guys down again.
I'm not going to lie, it's certainly a shock, but look, mate, seriously, that's an amazing opportunity. Like, wow, just wow.
So, that's why I can't take the offer. I hope it doesn't affect the band.
Well, you know, she might just go for us two, or maybe we could get someone else in.
Well, it is worth asking, I guess. Are you sure you're okay with this? Adam looks at Dan, who nods.
Stop fretting. Seriously, go get your dream. But hey, don't forget us when you're dead famous, and we both expect a call and a show when you proper made it.
Robin laughs. Dan and Adam join in. So what about you, Dan? I mean, it's really cool, but Donna wants to settle down. I mean, she's got a full-time job now in the kids' club.
That's great, mate. Well done to Donna. I have to ask, though, is that what you want to do?
I don't know. It's all dead confusing. Well, only you can make that decision, Dan. You have to do what's right for you.
Whatever you decide, mate. Let's at least go see if Benice is up for the changes.
Robin stays where he is as the boys approach the fire exit.
You come in.
Nah, this one's for you guys to figure out. Negotiate hard. You're both worth every penny. Robin smiles and Dan and Adam enter the venue. Interior, main venue, night. As we pan across the venue, all of the camp coats are dancing and celebrating. Those not in uniform are drinking. Hayley and Paula are discreetly holding hands and whispering to each other in the corner. Moshi is dancing with Ali, laughing and high-fiving each other. Bernice is once again at the bar. She has a fresh cocktail, this time a sparkler adorns the glass, fizzing and popping as she carefully sips the yellow-coloured drink. Dan and Adam nervously approach her.
Bernice? Hi.
Well, that was quick. Have you decided what you want to do? Where's the third? Well, to start with, we just had a few questions. I would be surprised if you didn't. Go for it.
The thing is with Robin, well, he's just told us he's got another job to go to. It's something he really wants to do. Would you take us as a twosome instead?
Oh, well, that's a real shame. He's a talent, that one.
I mean, we could find a third person. There's loads of guys here who'll be all right.
Bernice smiles. Listen, there's more to you guys than just that boy band. And honestly, I'm not really interested in that. I want you all, but you've got something special. Together or individually, you have a job each if you want it. So we could come just like the two of us.
Yeah, mate, she just said that.
Dan smiles and nods. Oh, cool. I want you guys to be one of Sun Lolly's flagship entertainment team. You'll get first choice at the auditions of who's on your team and where you go. We have a fantastic new hotel in Menorca I think you will be perfect for. Nice sunny island in the Balearics.
Oh, I'm not going to lie, that sounds amazing.
Bernice reaches into a bag and pulls out an envelope, handing it to Adam. She points to the envelope. There's some more details in here. Standard contract. She points to the envelope. Have a read and let me know tomorrow. Do you want to come on board? We'll finalise everything after that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will. And thank you.
Enjoy your night. I'm going to get trolleyed by my friend Colin here. Same again, B? Surprise me. She winks at Colin and smiles at Dan and Adam. They shake a hand before making their way over to their friends. Adam discreetly slides the envelope into his back pocket. Dan approaches Donna, who is stood with Robin, and picks her up off the floor and kisses her. Robin gently slaps Adam on the back and hands him a fresh beer. Sam is on the stage, still singing, and the team begins joining, dancing along. Ooh, it's a job offer.
So Robin's leaving. Robin is another to technically not leaving, technically got a job opportunity, but who knows where that's going to go.
Exactly. And we are right at the end of the season, so he could just refuse a contract offer. So it's not like he's quitting or anything. He's just saying, I'm not going to carry on after this year. If he got offered a new one, we just don't know. Cutthroat world.
I know. And now Adam and Dan in a particular position.
Yeah, so they've got this opportunity, I guess. And it's nice that it doesn't just require them as a twosome, as a threesome, should I say, as a band. They're looking at their experience as camp coats to really throw some experience into the book. Do we think, and I think I know the answer to this, because I guess it was kind of my thoughts, was that Bernice has come with this in mind. She's gone on a bit of a mission to recruit some experienced entertainers for her new team.
I think that is pretty accurate, considering she's randomly got contracts in the bag and just happens to pull them out.
The suggestion might be as such. And the fact that she sees Adam, sees Alan as well, just a happy coincidence. And unfortunately, he seemed to rib off her advances this time.
Yeah, I'll get a bit of Adam, do a bit of poaching. You know, that's a good weekend's work. Sorry, hey, did I say Adam?
I think you did, but we'll let it go. I don't think anybody noticed.
maybe not. And we, you know, I think Adam maybe turned a corner. We don't quite know. She's winking at Colin, so.
Well, there we go. Who knows? The evening is still young. Interior, main venue, men's toilets. The toilets are deserted apart from Dan, who is stood at a urinal, where the door opens and Adam wanders in.
Here you are.
Just draining the lizard, mate.
Speak to Donna yet?
Dan shakes and does up his flies before heading to the sink to wash his hands. Nah, not yet. She's buzzing from getting that job and how good the show was. Dan shakes the excess water from his hand before wiping them on a paper towel.
So descriptive for a toilet.
What am I going to do, mate?
You know I want my bestie with me on this new adventure. But mate, it's Donna. You guys are made for each other.
Jeez, that's really helpful. They both laugh.
Only you can make that decision. I'm going to go anyway. My mind is set. Nothing is going to keep me here now.
I know. It's hard though, dude. I mean, I love her. And well, you know, I'm not that good with words, but this job, what a chance to see some more of the world.
This thing from Sun Lolly, his contract, it's got a schedule. If we go, we leave in 2 days. We head to Spain for rehearsals and planning, then on to resort. It's crazy, man. It's like a winter sun thing.
Nice. God, what am I going to do? I've never been any good at making decisions, especially not ones this big.
Without trying to sound corny, follow your heart, bud. Be true to yourself.
Thanks, mate. And that's as cheesy as hell. They embrace. Dan discreetly wipes the remnant water on the back of Adam's jacket and then saunters out of the toilets to rejoin the party. Ooh, so we've got time for the last scene now. So here we go. This is the final scene from the last resort. Exterior, resort, Main Street, day. 2 days later. Adam casts a lone figure, walking through the chalet lines. He carries a duffel bag and a rucksack on each shoulder, and a bin liner full of belongings in his right hand. As he passes people he knows, he waves and smiles, taking in the buildings, the 2 years he spent living there, cycling images through his mind. He fist bumps Mushy, who is busy carrying costumes with Daisy. Daisy gives him a hug. As he passes the Ents building, he salutes to Mark and Eddie, who are stood atop the stairs watching. They nod back. He continues to reception and stops just as he reaches the large Camp Holiday sign. He then turns, looks one last time at the resort, before turning again and making his way up the driveway towards the road. A voice calls out from off screen. You're late, mate.
Why change the habit of a lifetime?
He smiles at Adam, who puts his arm over Dan's shoulder as the two friends continue walking to the road, turning left to a waiting minibus. They both jump in as the camera pans away, and the two friends leave the resort for the very final time. The end. And that, as she say, as they say, is all she wrote.
It's a wrap.
That's
a wrap.
It is. And you know what? I don't think we should make too much comment now. I think this has been an emotional journey and one that's now ended. And we are going to do a review retrospective of the entire season with some friends of the show. So if you've got any questions about what's happened in this episode, what you think would be going to happen in the future with these characters, if there was any more, then please do let us know. But for the final time in the Last Resort Saga, we'll just say, from myself and from Mike, thanks for joining us, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bad Scripts was written and performed by Mike Garlia and Steve Jones, a Beach Tide production.